This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Remember that you are a beautiful person.
You're a weird-looking tree, but you are a beautiful person.
Oh, good morning, Night Vale.
Hello, baby. It's me, Symphony.
Hi, it's Hal. I'm not nervous. You're nervous.
Hi, it's Megan, and I am not nervous at all. I am confident. I am projecting the confidence of someone who knows that we've got 270 votes inbound to us, yes, delivered by the lovely people of Georgia and Pennsylvania. That'll give you a clue about what day and time this is that we are recording. Right now, it's November the 5th. It's a Thursday night. It's 6:42 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hal and Symphony and I are coming to you where we are awaiting the results of the election, just like everyone else has been for the past 72 hours of this hell spiral. So we are here and we are feeling good, and we are here to talk about the podcast Welcome to Night Vale, which is what we do in good times, in bad times, and in times of electoral uncertainty. And we are here to recap some episodes for you because we find it fun and we find you fun.
This episode's description is: the city council makes an announcement about the dog park, plus the start of the new high school football season, and an update on the hole in the vacant lot. Let's talk about it.
What a fun night to be doing civic changes.
I can't, my legs are shaking so hard right now, so hard, and I'm sweating.
We have advise Joseph Fink that he is to come into the room where I am recording and let us know if any additional states get called during this recording. But until then, we're just going to trust in ourselves and all of you to talk about anything else besides what is happening in Pennsylvania and Georgia and Arizona.
I think we should start by taking our minds off it by talking about the silly rules of the dog park. Now, this has been since the beginning of the series, the idea that dogs can't go into the dog park, owners can't go in the dog park, no one's allowed in there. Basically, hooded figures reign supreme there. And
yes,
now the community is in a civic uproar, basically. I wrote, uh-oh, you know, because when the people are ready to take it, take them to task, we can't be stopped.
When we get through these books, we should raffle or make it like to get one of your books annotated by you, because you write these notes. You write in like the margin.
I write in the margins.
You write in the margin of your book. It just occurs to me now that this is this is now a Night Vale artifact, and more specifically, a Good Morning Night Vale artifact. Love the episode, by the way.
And I'm ready to sell it on the internet.
Yes.
I think it's very funny. But I just immediately think, can we make money off of this? And I think the answer is yes. A one-of-a-kind Symphony said, what would you pay for that? We don't even know.
I bet it's that your notes are hilarious. You have very nice, clean, neat handwriting. So it would be enjoyable to the reader.
Sometimes I draw a picture or two, a doodle.
There are doodles in there?
Yeah, sometimes.
What's your doodle when you're... Do you have like a default, like if you're on the phone or something, or
it'll usually be like it's like a face, like what I might be thinking or feeling at the moment. Like it's like a sad face, a happy face, maybe a little kissy. Maybe it's mainly a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. What we're talking about books wise is the script books that Symphony uses as we reference when we go back over these episodes. We sometimes pour through the script books to really take a deep dive into the text.
You might hear my delicate page flips. A little ASMR.
Yeah. So to your point about the dog park, like, I feel like the dogs not allowed in the dog park is like one of the, like, we hang our Night Vale hat on that joke.
Absolutely.
I feel like that's like the joke that like every dad who's into Night Vale finds hilarious.
Dog park. Dogs aren't allowed.
I'll tell you, I'm standing at a grill flipping heavy. I was listening to that Night Vale and those dog park jokes really get me. What a cut up.
But see, it's a dog park.
We're almost out of beer.
It's a dog park, but the dogs can't go in it.
They can't. They're not allowed.
It's delightful.
Why call it a dog park? Oh, my goodness. I'm so alone.
And they don't even swear in those shows.
It's clean language, clean living.
It's just a little kooky, a little wacky.
It's not what you're expecting. I would say that for sure. I love the gag of Cecil breaking news about himself and not realizing it's about himself.
Yes.
Like, he's been handed this news story and he's got it on the script. He's reading it and then has the discovery that the reason why everything is, why there's this controversy and why there are these complaints are because he and Carlos have been using it as a portal to the desert otherworld.
Right. But then as soon as that point comes up, he's ready to switch the subject to talk about sports.
Sports.
This is your sort of expertise there, Hallikins.
It is. That's how I know, listening to an episode, that Jeffrey wrote it, because it's sports heavy. And the idea of Desert Bluffs having to cut their athletics program along with every other program because they're out of money is really funny.
Yeah.
And probably the way, like, if you had a rival school, you probably wish that they would not show up for games if you lost all the time. Not saying that Night Vale does lose all the time, but, you know.
Well, I mean, your biggest rival, like, you want them to forfeit because they're, like, scared or whatever. Or, like, you don't necessarily want the other town to succeed. But, like, it is sad that Desert Bluffs is in a recession because of the town, because of Strex.
Because of Strex, yeah.
You know? But
the economic
you know what?
Impact.
I am really happy for Malik Herrera.
Malik Herrera.
Yeah. Because now he gets to explore his real dreams.
Of non-existence.
Yeah. And conceptual art.
That's what I'm... Like, he just wanted to be an artist. Like, but I remember thinking that was so sad in the episode before that they talked about him, and that's why they, like, were disqualifying him. Like, the last episode he was, like, referenced in. And I felt so sad that it makes me always feel sad when someone doesn't get to fulfill who they are or their dreams or whatever.
Sure.
You know, just because that's not what people perceive them to be. And that's kind of what Malik Herrera. I want to say Malik. Why is that?
Because you're thinking of Zayn Malik from One Direction?
I don't know who that is.
Well, apparently I do.
There's also a Chicago neo-futurist named Malik, so maybe that's why.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Or Wendy Malik.
Or maybe because I'm a devil worshiper. Just kidding. I don't worship
that too.
The devil's okay.
The devil worships you.
Me. Yeah!
That's right, baby.
Same joke. I also love another good sports joke is the idea of a team of ghosts who can't be tackled, so they're 9-1. I also wonder if the one loss came to, like, Ghostbusters. Has to be like a group or
another ghost team.
Another ghost team is possible. When they play to a draw, though, because not only can they not be tackled, but it's also hard to pick up the ball if you pass through solid objects.
What if it was like a bunch of exorcists? They were playing some exorcists. That's why they lost.
Oh, yeah. A team of priests.
Like, yeah, they play local Catholic school. Them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Power of Christ compels you.
Yeah.
That's demons. That's not ghosts.
Yeah. That's true. This is Pazuzu the demon from The Exorcist.
I actually just saw a joke recently, one of those memes that was, I'm making a joke. I know it's memes, you guys. that, like, why is it always when they're, like, exorcising a demon or whatever, like, why is it always, like, you know, Catholic or Judeo-Christian, like, what if they are a Buddhist demon?
Or like a Dybbuk.
Like, what if they're just, power of Christ compels you. Like, I don't give a F. I don't believe in that business, you know?
They'd be pretty like calm. It's a pretty like calm demon, right?
It'd be like, ha, ha, ha. Power of Christ compels you. Does it?
I thought you were just going to do the laugh and that was it. You'd be like, ha, ha, ha. And then that's it. And then you'd be haunted by, I wonder what that demon was laughing at.
Just the laughing Buddha demon.
Yeah. Was I in it? Oh, Laughing Buddha is one of my favorite restaurants.
Oh, goodness. If only.
Goodness. Can we talk about, I mean, this is a big John Peters episode.
Huge.
And
yes.
We would have had Mark Gagliardi on had I gotten any bit of my shit together to organize a recording around his schedule, which is very weird and busy because he's in Italy.
Yeah, that's right. He's in another, he's the little woman from Italy.
Yes. He's the farthest away from us time zone, like pretty much possible. But a great, great Mark episode. This is hilarious, this bit.
We should just insert audio of him like laughing because that's all over the internet. Like just.
Yeah, I can get you that. I can get you some footage of that.
And be like, thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. You know, I've been working with Mark for. I've known Mark for 17 years now, I think.
Dang.
17, 18 years.
Y'all could have a grown-ass kid.
Exactly. We've worked together on stage for 15 years in various capacities and have obviously grown closer and closer and done more and more stuff together. And I know how talented he is, but it's nice to hear him in something that I haven't heard him in before and appreciate just how good he is. Not only is he a gifted comedian, but he's also a really, really amazing actor. And those combine so well here. Like, you just plug him in and he gets it and just makes the bit sail beautifully.
Yeah, he is always so fun as John Peters, you know, the farmer. And I feel like it's hard to not say the full name. Like, you say John Peters, but then you're like, you even like hold the space for it, you know?
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I remember when we were on tour and he references a bit of that in the opening segment of the script book that he wrote the opening for this episode. And I remember when we were on tour for this and we were traveling around. My biggest memory is probably when we were in Florida. We had done Clearwater and we'd all watched Going Clear. This was when the Scientology.
Yeah.
Documentary came out. We all like huddled into one room and watched Going Clear. And then we were in Clearwater like the next day. And we were all so scared that we were going to get abducted by Scientology somehow. And then after we were like so relieved, we went out and got drinks and there was a rogue cart on the way back. And we took turns pushing each other in the cart. It was great. I love Mark. He's so fun. And yes, he's such a talented person. And I also love that he and Cecil have such a vast and broad history because they didn't go to high school together, but they did basically swing choir together and like some theater stuff together as well. So I just love imagining like a young, dark-haired Mark Gagliardi and a haired Cecil on stage together. Like, how cute. How cute.
Yes.
In their little vests.
Yeah, I have seen some pictures. Let me see if I can track down some of those pictures. I don't know. I mean, either Mark or Cecil has them of them in their show choir outfits. And it's pretty good. It's pretty adorable. Yeah, I really do love the history. They do play well together in the scene. The scene's really funny. And the thing that I love about Mark's performance of John Peters, you know, the farmer, is that you kind of get to really see him with it. Like, just the way it kind of paints it. So I'm like, at first I'm like, is John Peters drunk? I was like, I feel like maybe a little drunk. And then I was like, is he just, no, maybe he's just like, been out in the sun for a really long time, like 4 years kind of out in the sun. And like, maybe he's drinking a little bit of moonshine and hasn't talked to a person in a while. But you get like all of the ideas about who John Peters might be and how he is just this like weirdo on the outskirts of town who does not make sense, but is holding you in a conversation.
And he's always so certain about things. Like, he's like, oh yeah. And all these people and they're, like just out here, like just staring at things, and he's like, "Is that corn? Are you talking about the cornfields?"
Yeah, are you in corn?
Right. Are you talking about corn? And then he just totally turns on a dime and is like ready to move on to the next subject, you know? I feel like they kind of talk about protesting and what is appropriate a little bit in this episode. He says, Cecil says, it's amazing. I'm so proud of our town taking a nonviolent approach towards civic change. This reminds me of the classic sit-ins where protest, and it's like they were standing up. They weren't sitting per se. They were totally upright. Yeah. And he just like changes the subject.
Mark is very good at playing dumb.
Yes.
Because it's
I
almost
wonder
like,
why that is.
He's not dumb.
No.
He's over sincere. Yeah, exactly. You want to just say you think Mark is dumb. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Can we get a clean air check of that?
You know what? If he's got something to say about it, maybe he should come on the show.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't ask him. So it's not like he turned us down. It's just that I didn't want to have to record it at 6 o'clock in the morning.
What are you hiding from, Mark?
Yeah, Mark, if you're so big and mighty, so smart, why don't you come on the show? All the way from Italy.
Yeah, man. We're here. We're waiting. We're distracted by a national election.
We did call him once just like randomly on the phone. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
He will pick up the phone anytime we call him, but...
He will, yeah. He has been on the podcast before. That is true.
Yeah, right. We definitely need to have him on back when... Maybe if he ever comes back to America. Not that I would if I were him, but...
If he happens to marry a beautiful Italian lady while he's there, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, if he's like Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and he comes back with an Italian model bride.
That's right. Just so that he can leave anytime. You know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love John Peters. Yeah, he's really good at playing dumb or just like changing the subject to something else, and then you get totally invested in that thing, and then he's off again onto another thing. And I feel like that happens with a lot of our more colorful characters in the world of Night Vale. Speaking of, can we talk about this intern, Danielle?
Yes.
She has a strong will to live, and I love to see that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm here for it. Like, she's even more like a... refuse, like she's like standing up for herself more than like even Maureen. Like Maureen will roll her eyes, but then still go do the thing. And Danielle's like, no, I'm just going to stay here. I'm not planning to go to a dog park. So thanks.
Yeah. Even though like it's a big story. The last person who went to the dog park became mayor.
Yeah. After being lost in a desert other world for like forever. But we don't talk about that, do we?
No, of course we don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And Cecil's like really tries, but then she's just like, no, which is great. It's good to have boundaries in the workplace.
And like while he does like try and give her as many opportunities as possible to like be like, yeah, you want to do it. He doesn't like push her too bad. So I appreciate that as a boss.
Yeah.
No.
I don't find his behavior to be abusive.
No. He's not like good. Using his power.
But just for his Hannibal fan poetry. It's very much a joke of the time back when Hannibal was a show.
I know. I'm like, I never watched that show. Like, I watched all the movies, you know, like Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal and like the red whatever dragon, right?
Jeffrey was a Hannibal fan. Hannibal's a TV show fan.
I'm sure it was lovely.
That's a very popular show right there.
Right there. It's a popular show.
So Jeffrey's a fanable?
I think he's a fanable. Hopping back to the John Peters bit, I really appreciate Cecil's straight man, where it's there. Those are scarecrows, John. It's just very much like, and then also the birds bit, where like he just loses it at birds. I just wrote down birds, symphony, exclamation point.
I fucking hate birds. You know that. I actually saw this TikTok recently where this bird was like sitting on a perch. It was like a home bird, you know, like a bird that people keep in their home. And then it was like picking at its little perch thing that was it was sitting on. And the guy was like, you fucking idiot. You're gonna learn how gravity works real quick. And the stupid bird chewed the thing out from under it and then fell all the way down to the ground. I can't have respect for anything like that.
But he can fly, no?
Have some self-respect Fly, dummy. Like, what do you need to be biting on a perch for? Like, why are you biting it? What's the matter with you? I also don't like that they poop in their own water. Like, it upsets me. Like, I can't, like, if you're nasty, like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't deal with it.
Listen, to each their own.
But sometimes they're cute.
Yeah. You want to yuck their young.
I don't like captive birds. I kind of like don't really think that like captive things that aren't like this, we need to, this isn't going to survive in nature. We need to take care of it in a situation. But like kind of like domesticating birds to live in a cage in your house. I'm just like, same thing with like reptiles where I'm like, come on, do we have to? Like these are not animals that are like naturally like bonded to humans, like dogs. Yeah, sure. And well, I guess to some extent cats, but, and rats, but.
They love you.
But I don't know, like, I don't think your snake loves you. This is controversial. I'm going to catch shit about this. But I don't think your snake loves you.
I don't, oh, wow. I don't know how it feels, but I enjoy it. When people have snakes in their house, I'm not scared of that. And I'm just like, that's cool, like, whatever. I do think it's weird because I feel like it should be able to, like, slither all over. I'm making a slithery motion. I know you can't see it, but I am. I'm like, I wish that, it's a snake. It's been a snake.
I feel like birds should fly. Snakes should be out in the nature. It's not, yeah, it's not like they're naturally bonded to humans the way that dogs are.
Yeah. And some cats, like whatever.
And cats. I mean, I don't know enough about cats. So I know that cats, especially ones that are not feral, enjoy good relationships with humans.
Sure. But
I don't know if there's like a natural cat-human connection that exists.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I feel like there can be many connections depending on the animal itself. I don't believe in having a bird inside your house, but that's just me, and I'm not trying to, like, harsh anybody's buzz or whatever. If you have a bird that is in love with you, like, do whatever you want to do. Like,
your bird doesn't love you is what I'm here to say, and you should go let it fly.
But you won't find this motherfucker with a bird in her house, okay? Also, I'm not coming over to your house if you have a bird. And birds outside, they're okay. I would rather not, though. Although, I did find out some interesting things. Number one, owls have weird long legs.
Yeah.
Also, mm-hmm. Owls and crows are like natural enemies. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
They like hate each other and they'll like fight.
Crows and any sort of raptor like really get into it. It's because the owls eat the crow's babies.
That's rude. That's rude.
It's like a predator thing. But the crows fight back because, what, you know, you gotta.
Yeah.
They bring up because they're like, and they don't forget. Like, crows will come after you. Like, if you're rude, they're going to come for you. And I relate to that also. I'm a little witchy, so I appreciate a crow.
Yeah. Crows, yeah, they also will gang up too, which
the all
owls are a little bit more like solo. I see a lot of owls by my house.
I heard owls are dumb.
I don't know. They're really pretty, I think.
They can be cute. There's this one on TikTok that is very cute.
When Joseph and I go bike riding, I see them a lot because he bike rides in front of me. So he like will startle them and then he never gets to see them, but he'll like startle them enough for them to fly and then they'll fly. And then I'll see like, there'll be like an owl between Joseph and I on our bike
at
ride.
At night? Or daytime?
No, during the day, like in the afternoon.
I thought, are they not night times?
They're like around during the afternoon.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it's when they go smoke out back.
Yeah, they're chilling.
Some owls look like they're cross-eyed, and I'm here for that. Where they look like they're like, which way do I go to catch the mouse? Like, those are the owls that I like the most.
Love owls. Love bird. I like. I'm not like a bird person, but I really love raptors and like birds of prey. I love birds that murder. I'm so fascinated by them. I think they're beautiful.
They can be.
I love a good murder bird.
I like the cute ones. I don't like vultures are kind of ugly, but that's just me.
Anyway, there's the ad for Knife, which I appreciate. I think it's a good ad.
That shit cracked me up. Because it's not like a knife. It's not the knife. It's Knife.
Knife. Sure.
Knife. Have you tried
to cut
Knife?
A hole in something? Knife.
Need to cut a thing? Use Knife.
Knife.
You could try saw. Saw sometimes work, but other times you need Knife. It's true.
It's a very funny word from our sponsors.
Also, the sound is like a jackhammer. Knife. Like, maybe it's one of those electrical knives, like, Did you guys ever have that for Thanksgiving? Like, the parent, your dad had, like, the knife that, why am I doing that with my finger?
The electric knife saw thing?
Yeah.
That's for, like, slicing up a ham or a turkey.
Yeah. But that sounded more like, not like this thing, which was, like, very intense.
We did have one. I can't say that we used it all too often. I feel like it was.
I feel like it's a thing that's only brought out around the giving of thanks, no?
Yeah, also in Easter in our home because we would have a ham.
Oh, I don't like ham.
A ham and a lasagna, Italian American.
I don't like hot ham.
I like ham. I prefer, like, if we're having a holiday meal, I prefer a poultry.
Because you can put gravy on it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can put gravy on ham, but.
Ham gravy. Ham is in its own gravy.
Yeah. Put the ham in the gravy. Oh, I made, today I made an omelet. My first omelet, baby's first omelet, was perfect. Here's what I did.
Wait, your first omelet ever?
Baby's first. I like scrambled eggs, and I like an omelet, but it was very basic. Here's what I did.
Okay.
I did eggs. I did bacon grease in the pan.
Obviously.
Then you scramble the eggs. They put them in the pan. Let them sit there. Then I had some bacon, which I broke up into pieces, and I arranged it like I was doing a pizza, as they would say. Nobody says that. Mm-hmm. As I was doing, like, I like made a little pizza, and then I just waited, and then I just fold, and on the plate, and it was perfect. And I almost wept because that's how emotional I've been the last 72 hours.
Just on a razor's edge, the eggs sent, well-cooked eggs will send you right over.
It just was good.
Your emotions are like so, like, your nerves endings are just like fried, and you're just like.
I cried 5 times on Tuesday. 5 times I counted every single time, and I didn't know it was coming any single time. I like was in the middle of a sentence and I just started to weep.
Oh, honey.
Yeah.
We're having a time. It's a lot. We always forget, we always forget about the global pandemic because that seems to be like kind of ever present, but we're like all trying to survive and adapt during it. And then when we come across something that's hard, difficult, or emotional, we're like, why am I so upset? We're like, oh, that's right. Because there's someone standing on my chest called a global pandemic.
Yeah.
And we just always forget about it. We don't forget about it. It's very hard to forget about because it's omnipresent. But because it's omnipresent, we forget about it.
Yeah, you just fold it in. You just fold it in like you folded your motherfucking omelet. You just fold it back into your life. You're like, yes, this is what's going on because you have no choice. You have no other choice. Mm-hmm. You can't just be like, oh, well, I'm fine, like whatever. And then one more thing gets piled on and one more thing gets piled on. And then you end up having a breakdown. You know, in the grocery store when you shouldn't, you're just holding cantaloupe. You're like, you're just holding cantaloupe. But are you?
Yeah. I kind of liken it to living. I spent 10 years living somewhere where I was in the path of an airport. So it was airplane noise all the time. And I didn't realize how much it bothered me. And I'm not trying to minimize the pandemic. I'm just saying that at a certain point, it's become so regular. This thing that you almost become numb to, not to it and not unaware of it, but to the pain and the stress that it causes. Those just become, that's my everyday. It's all the time. I don't know anything different. So when this was just something piling on top of something else and the emotion of it overwhelmed and I couldn't contain it anymore. Like I just reached a boiling point with it. But when the day comes that we're beyond or further beyond the pandemic and we're beyond this election, which hopefully is by the time this episode airs, please, Lord, please, then there will be some amount of release to that. And the shoulders will lower and the jaw will unclench and we'll all feel a lot better. And until then, keep your head on a damn swivel.
Yeah.
Keep your shiv handy.
Well, I think some of those feelings are echoed in Pamela Winchell's little announcement when she said, today citizens of Night Vale have spoken and they have said something. I wasn't paying attention. I can't hear and see and understand every single thought or feeling everyone is having at every single moment. And I don't think anyone can. But I'm sure we're all feeling a similar amount of stress and anxiety. And just know that you're not alone out there. You're with us in here on the internet.
And while it may not feel like there's an end to it, there has to be, right?
Yeah. Like you're going to die eventually.
That's an ending.
That is an ending. That is one ending.
That's one of the possibilities. But yeah, it's definitely hard to.
I'm sorry. That's so dark.
But hey, who knows? Who knows how things go? We might be looking forward towards it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just, what I'm saying is that on a positive note is that there is an end to all of this. This does, the pandemic does not last forever. Whether it is, we are, you know, we look to the spring and there is a vaccine, or maybe there never is a vaccine and it takes us 5-6 years to get through, whatever. We have a, you know, whether it's the spring or 5 to 6 years from now, there's an end.
Yeah.
It can't last forever. All we can do is shorten it by doing the things that we know are, we can be responsible to, which is just trying not to spread it. So that is
wear
what
a mask.
Wear a mask. Don't open mouth kiss all of your relatives on Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah, resist.
I miss open mouth kissing so bad right now. You guys are married. You're so lucky. Like, I'm just like kissing my satin lined pillow. I don't kiss it. I'm kidding.
I'm going to kiss my pillow.
Getting married to Joseph Fink was the best thing I ever did. And I really feel that in a global pandemic. It's very nice. It's very nice to be partnered right now. And I am very grateful for it. And I appreciate it.
I'm the least engaged.
But there's an end.
Yes, there's an end to, an end to all of it. Even to Pamela Winchell, her speech, there is also an end to that. But I love that she does bring it back to the dog park. And she's like, why is everybody so upset about it, basically? And she's like, oh, maybe you're mad about the dog's parking. Like, I don't understand. Oh, you're against dog bark. I get that, too. You just, we were talking about, that was actually on a different podcast. I was a guest on Hal's podcast. Got this. And he made a joke about a dog named Ranger that just incessantly barked.
I just kept barking. Ranger the dog, yeah.
If you're a crossover fan,
you should listen to
that
it.
Joke.
Yeah. And we're not going to say any more about it because you'll
not
have
necessary.
To listen.
Oh, I also, I circled this one because I thought it was just very funny. When it said, there's nothing worse than an idiot dog voicing its idiot opinion. Keep it to yourself, King Charles. King Charles Spaniels are so cute. They have those long, curly ears. If you don't know what a King Charles Spaniel is, it's basically what Lady from Lady and the Tramp looks like. They are very adorable.
She's a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, yeah. Is she?
I believe she's a Cocker Spaniel.
Well, spaniels,
but they're very similar. Yes, they are similar. Well, spaniels, they have the spaniel ears and the similar coats and all that.
Oh, maybe the King Charles one has the more bulbous forehead.
I also think the King Charles is, they have different colorings. Like they're multicolor, whereas a spaniel, I think, is a continual coat.
Well, they're super cute, and but they can be barky. So I get why you would not want to hear that.
Now I have to Google whether Lady from Lady and the Tramp is a Cocker Spaniel because I have the facts are important.
I think you
guys.
Might be right.
Facts are important. Lady.
Are they?
Google Lady Tramp Spaniel.
You are correct.
Okay. You got there before me. Thank you. Facts are important, guys, especially with your dog breeds.
But a King Charles Spaniel is very cute.
They are. That's the dog that Charlotte has in Sex and the City.
Oh, so cute.
I'm so sorry that I know that, but. You have to love all of me, you know?
Yeah, it's an American Cocker Spaniel. They have curlier, like, ear things. But I always think of it like a King Charles Spaniel because, like, I don't know, the brown and the white. I don't know. It looks very classy. Either way, classy-ass dog. A little barky.
Spaniels are pretty classy, I have to say. A little barky. Could be. But yeah, the emergency press conference from Pamela, I have to say that when I was prepping this episode, it was during Trump's emergency press conference today. And I was like, can I have a minute? Can I just have a break? but no, I have to say I enjoyed Pamela's way more. I found it to...
way more coherent.
And make my life better. Make my life better in a way that the other ones didn't. And definitely way more coherent.
Way more coherent, which is so wild because Pamela Winchell is a wackadoo.
Yeah, she's completely crackers.
There's something deeper to her than that other guy. But you know what? I'm glad that we have her.
There's an end.
In this world. Can we talk about the Hudlers outside the Ralphs? Out back of the Ralphs?
Sure.
In the hole behind the Ralphs?
Yeah, that are turning into nestlers?
I think that's more disgusting sounding. I would rather huddle than nestle. Like, nestling sounds like there's, like, some sort of nudging with your, like, nose in your face. And in these times, I can't. Nope.
You nestle under your blanket at night.
Yeah, and that means you're like, and no.
That's nuzzling.
Oh, okay. We're splitting hairs here, I think, Hal.
Nestling is like you get in comfy in the pillow, then you pull the blanket over when it's cold, and then you're warm because you've nested.
Well, you pull it over your face?
Sometimes. Not all the time. I have done it.
Like, nuzzling is kind of like rustling, and the combination of nuzzling and rustling is
nesting.
That word we were talking. Nesting and rustling.
Nest.
It's gone now. Right. Nesting and nuzzling.
Nestling.
I guess nestling is like coming to rest.
Nestling is like a nuzzling rustle.
It's when Russell nuzzles. Mm-hmm. It's nestle.
But like, how do you nestle with a bunch of other people? Like, I'm not trying to do that, especially out back of a Ralph's.
In a hole behind a Ralph's. I just think of like a dirty pothole, like a dirty puddle pothole.
Yeah, and you're in there just like, let's just rub up against each other. That's disgusting. At least huddling to me indicates that you're just standing in a circle smoking cigarettes, which is still gross, but less gross than nestling. That's where I stand on it, you guys. I don't know what to tell you.
Take the nestle tea plunge.
No.
Thumbs up. I'm going to hold my thumbs up to the camera. Thumbs up. We all approve. No. We all approve of the joke I did. I did a joke.
Congratulations. You 100% did that joke.
I did a joke.
Joke. Hell of a joke doer.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then so things start to heat up at the dog park. And then the sedative helicopter comes by. And, like, who wouldn't love a sedative helicopter at this point?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Dream of it.
I'm not a big fan of sedatives, but the anxiety level right now is, like, at a all-time high. So I feel like I could use a really good night's sleep, like a solid 9 hours.
Don't get up to pee once.
But this only seemed to be for the time of, like, the weather. But who knows how long it could have been. And Cecil said he woke up refreshed.
Cecil's like, oh, you're using a chemical weapon on me? You're the government? It's fine. I'm refreshed. I woke up. Nothing bad happened to me. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's fine.
That's our girl. And then we have a breakthrough at the dog park. This is huge. Every night, Bill Dad is like, did you listen to this episode? They're letting dogs in the dog park.
You won't believe it. Honey, I need more Worcestershire. Anyway, they let the dogs in the dog park. Bunch of crate, but not like you normally would expect. The owners have to wait outside. They get crated up.
Wait, here's the weird thing. It was like, so they're like, they're outside and they're yelling and they're like, hey, my dog has to pee really badly. But I'm like, where were your dogs peeing before?
They weren't.
They're just holding it the whole time.
Yeah, that dog's been waiting a very long time to make a pee-pee.
That is cruel. So basically, they're going to take your dog and you go in a crate?
A styrofoam crate.
And you don't get your dog back. Yeah.
Yeah. Civic changes. It's not a metaphor for anything that's happening right now. No.
Nope.
Certainly not.
Oh.
This was written in 2015.
Oh, yeah.
That was a time before now.
I do like in one of the last paragraphs, so often we think that politics is just arguing about who should be president, but the real change starts here at home. And boy, has that never been truer, right?
That's right.
But it does matter who's going to be president. So
it matters. That's why some of us are sweating and obsessing about it.
and
just some of us, not all
have
of
not
us.
Stopped hitting refresh on their specific election trackers.
Yeah.
Have not slept great. Have not maybe taken the best care of themselves in the past couple of days, although I did, prior to this recording, shower and wash my hair.
Heck yeah.
So
yeah, I might shower after this. I feel like
it felt
time.
Good. It felt like it was good to rinse off some of what's been holding us down.
It does help to relieve a little tension, and I think it is important to not only do your self-care at this time, but like possibly increase it a little bit. To show yourself a little love, give yourself a facial massage, massage out those tense jaw muscles. You know what I mean?
Ugh.
You can only look more snatched.
That's right. And we're going to snatch up some letters from friends and fans of the podcast, talk about all your theories, comments, and questions. But first, got a conversation about this episode's weather, which is I Love You Oddly by Rebecca Angel. And it's a bop.
Yes.
Certified bop. 10 of 10, would bop.
Very boppy, very Regina Spektor-ish.
Yes,
yeah.
Very much.
It's short. The lyrics are quirky.
Mm-hmm. A perfect Night Vale weather. I actually found myself eyes closed, head bopping side to side to block out the anguish that I was feeling today. So it was lovely to just like black out for a second and just like be there with this song for the 2:45, whenever, like 2:45 or whatever the song was. It was very fun, and I enjoyed it very much. Kit, do you know anything about this person?
I do. My journalistic Googling led me to Rebecca's Bandcamp page. Rebecca is a Albany, New York-based singer-songwriter, also a writer and blogger, and a playwright, and a mom, self-described hashtag geek mom.
Geek mom, that's cute.
Which I think this is good for, because this episode's about Night Vale dads. So I think that this is, I get the vibe that maybe Rebecca's a Night Vale mom.
That's great. I love that. Also, Rebecca Angel makes me think of, if you've ever seen the movie Practical Magic.
Yes, I watched it.
I know it.
Literally a week ago.
Nice. For Halloween. And it makes me think of
Jimmy Angelus.
Jimmy Angel. Yeah. and how crazy that was. But like Rebecca seems like a much nicer person.
Yes, than the guy who's a serial killer.
Yeah, I'm gonna haunt you forever.
That ends up haunting Nicole Kidman in a big bad way.
Doesn't haunt Nicole Kidman, you know?
What a great movie, Practical Magic. Yeah, really nice song. Really nice of Rebecca to play it for all of us in these times.
Yes. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Now that we've talked, the only thing left to do is to eat. And you know what I like to eat? The words of our fans.
Yes. Eat those words.
Mixed with a little bit of cheese inside of a hot, doughy pouch. And that hot, doughy pouch is known as the Fan Zone.
Stay right there. Good Morning Night Vale will return after a brief break.
All right, in the Cal Zone today, we have Jamie. Jamie says, hello, Hal, Meg, and Symphony. How are you guys? Everyone doing okay in this terrible excuse for a year?
No.
It's funny to me that you guys started saying the date during the podcast. I've been doing that too, because I'm having a hard time believing it is still not March. You know, the before times. Today, the day that Jamie is writing this, is Thursday, September 17th. It is my birthday, and if I may, I would like to take you on a brief journey. It was November 2016. The world outside was a raging dumpster fire. I had just moved into a new house, so the world inside was an overwhelming sea of chaos and boxes. I was texting with my sister, attempting to make sense of the mess of the world, and she said, you should listen to this podcast called Welcome to Night Vale. It's like David Lynch and Neil Gaiman had a baby that became a town. It's amazing, and you'll love it. She was so right. I jumped in, rapidly devoured the entire back catalog, and never looked back. Night Vale was my gateway to the vast universe of audio fiction, and now I listen to what is probably an alarming amount of podcasts. Anyway, I want to talk about my favorite Night Vale intern, Intern Danielle. Intern Danielle appears in episode 74, Civic Changes, and episode 76, An Epilogue. In episode 74, she refuses to go to the dog park for Cecil and calls him out on the dangers of leaving her desk. In episode 76, spoilers, Cecil says she refused to do any field reporting or take any pictures of Kashuk. Then she just stops coming to the station and therefore becomes one of the few Night Vale radio interns to survive the internship program. I know other interns survive, like Dana, but I think Danielle is the only one that survived by flat out refusing to participate in Cecil's dangerous intern shenanigans. Intern Danielle is my favorite because I have a 10-year-old daughter named Danielle, and she is fiercely independent, strong-willed, and completely amazing. She would definitely stand up for someone, call them out on their bullshit, and be stubborn enough to not let it go. She would absolutely survive the internship program and probably go to join Tamika's army. My Danielle does not have enormous palms, though. You guys all stay safe. Thank you for making this podcast and all of the other creative things that you do. And thank you for giving this introvert something to escape into when the world outside gets too loud. Peace and love, Jamie. Thanks, Jamie, and happy birthday back in September.
Yeah, Jamie, that's so sweet. What a great letter.
Happy Virgo birthday to you.
Yeah. Virg birth. here's one. And I'll let you know who it's from at the end. Too good. All right. And this is a long letter, and I know it's been edited down. Apologies, writer. Here's why I know it's long, because the very beginning of it starts with 0.7. All right. Hello, dearest Good Morning Night Vale fam. Episode 74, Civic Changes. This episode has what I believe to be the funniest moment of all Night Vale, episodes, live shows, books. John Peters, you know, the farmer, and his mayhaps these individuals. I shout, "Get going, you birds," all the time. Usually at my cats, actually. I like birds a lot. I grew up surrounded by corn, and I can just see John Peters, you know, the farmer, looking out at his field, invisible corn people swaying in the breeze. Note, the tied for first, second funniest Night Vale moment is in the Welcome to Night Vale audiobook when the car insurance rep changes Diane Creighton's middle name. Diane Creighton. The other one is the librarian, when Michelle Nguyen talks about the magazine Future. Hope I got the umlauts right. I'm not sure what it says about me that those moments make me dissolve into giggles. The whole point of the original email I started writing was just to say that, although I can't quite remember what was going on in my life from March to December 2015, I was leaning really heavily on Night Vale to drown out the stress and noise of the real world. A bunch of the episodes you've covered recently, as well as several more upcoming episodes, are still some of my favorites to go to when I need something comforting. There's another stretch from episode 98 to 110 that got me through another tough time. The time after the 2016 election. It's been changed, but Joseph's original intro to episode 98, Flight, so embodied the exhaustion and despair and fear we were all feeling in that moment. It made me feel less alone in a sea of people insisting, "Oh, he won't be that bad." And then, Meg, you came in at the end with the story about the golden retriever and the lion mane, like clinging desperately to any little shards of hope/joy we could find. It's so crazy thinking back to that moment, considering where we are now. Sad, exhausted sigh. Anyway, I hope this gets to you before you record Civic Changes so you can give your opinions on the funniness of "Get going, you birds!" John, wait, are you in a cornfield? You three are amazing, and I love spending an hour with you every other week. And it's from the Anonymous Poop Lady! That's right, Anonymous Poop Lady is back. Poop, 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 poop. It's hilarious. Not only is it well written, but it's well performed on both sides. So they both, it's back to back to back home runs. And it's a beautiful moment. It's Mark doing, I think Mark is doing like a Jeff Bridges. I'm going to have to ask him next time I talk to him and say, "Is John Peters, you doing like a Jeff Bridges sort of thing?" Because I feel like the more he did it, the more Jeff Bridges he became, like in True Grit.
Get going, you birds. That's how
get going, you birds.
That's what I do to all birds, I say. I think it's a great line, and I like yelling at things outside.
Sure. Who doesn't?
I agree. And finally, in our fan zone, cal zone, we have Sarah. Sarah writes, "Hey guys, love the show. Loved seeing you in Portland, Maine." Well, we loved seeing you too, Sarah. Thanks. My theory is that John Peters, you know, the farmer, has actually never planted anything in his fields in his life and knows nothing about farming. However, he does know how to pull a long con with the invisible corn empire he has built. Maybe he has an in with the vague yet menacing government agency. Thanks for all the laughs, Sarah. You know, Sarah, I wouldn't necessarily put it past John Peters, but honestly, I don't know if he's that scheming. I feel like John Peters, you know, the farmer, I think he might actually think he's growing invisible corn, but just like it doesn't actually exist. I think that part might be right, but I don't think he's like doing it. He would do it maliciously. I think he would think he's actually growing corn, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that John Peters, I think what he does is all above board. I personally get that vibe from him that while there could possibly be something weird going on, I feel like he's maybe like a little bit too earnest.
Right.
That he, if he is involved in this scheme, it's not, he does not know that he's involved.
Yeah, I don't think his, I think his fault is that he believes too much rather than that he's doing something he doesn't actually believe. And for me, the comedy works better if he's sincere. And that's the way Mark plays it, is like 100% he is sincere about everything he's talking about, which makes it all the more ridiculous when he's talking about just some corn people and scarecrows.
And of course, maybe a vague yet menacing government agency could have had a hand in it by giving him invisible corn seeds and being like, grow this. And, but I like my co-host here, I believe that he truly believes that he is growing the best invisible corn that he possibly could. So thank you, Sarah, for your letter, email, shouting into the void. And thank you to everyone who's listened to this episode. And hopefully you'll be with us next episode, which is Through the Narrow Place. Until then, please stay safe, stay sane, and stay hydrated. But until then, good morning, Night Vale. Good morning.
Good Morning Night Vale is a Night Vale Presents production. It is hosted by Symphony Sanders, Hal Lublin, and Meg Bashwinner. It is edited and mixed by Vincent Cascione. It is produced by Meg Bashwinner. Theme music by Disparition. Special thanks to our fans who submitted their thoughts this week. Leave us a voicemail at 929-277-2050 or email us at info@goodmorningnightvale.com to share your theories and ask questions, or to send us your best gritty memes. This show is powered by our patrons like Shannon McGurk, Paul Waper, Daniela Tunez, Chris Jones, and Ginny. If you are interested in supporting the show in exchange for lots of fun, exclusive, insider, hyper cool kid content, like a video of a very sunburnt me making scones in Hal's kitchen, check us out at patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. For more info on this show, go to goodmorningnightvale.com and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Night Vale Chat. Special thanks to Joella Knapp, Jeffrey Craner, and Joseph Fink. Today's adverb is congratulatory. We want to offer a congratulatory message to the Delaware Democrat Sarah McBride on becoming our nation's first ever transgender state senator. Hell yes, Sarah.
From the creators of Welcome to Night Vale, Alice Isn't Dead, and Within the Wires comes a new Audible original. Unlicensed. In the outskirts of Los Angeles, where the cul-de-sacs and strip malls sprawl into the desert, two unlicensed private investigators scrape by on whatever small cases come their way. But when a teenage girl pleads for them to take the strangest case of their career, this unlikely pair, with no resources and no backup, will follow a trail of seemingly unconnected cases, which will lead them to a ransom, a murder, a mysterious wellness center, and a conspiracy that might go all the way to the governor.
It's important to catch small fires early. They don't stay small for long.
Unlicensed. Available now at audible.com/unlicensed.
From PRX.